Oh my.
Senate Rules Committee will come to order. We want to cover a couple items, should not take too long. Let's have the sergeant join us and Senator Senjum and I and Senator Coke and Bach were hoping that this would be a fairly smooth transition in terms of office moves and stuff. So let's just get a report if things are moving along nicely and outstanding issues.
Chairman, members of the committee, I'm happy to report that the moves are
Introduce yourself, Sam.
Sven Lindquist, Chief Sergeant at Arms for the Senate. I'm happy to report that the moves are complete. We were finished. The last members were put into their offices and new addresses on Friday the 10th. The last week and a half have been spent making people comfortable, and we've still got quite a bit of small detail work to do. But thanks to the members and staff, both those retiring and those moving, preparation for the moves were swift. And this has given people a little opportunity to get settled and hopefully spend some time with their friends and family over the Christmas holiday and New Year season.
Members, you should be aware, I think, was there a $20,000 contract for outside assistance?
We bid with an outside moving group, and the initial proposal that we received and accepted was for just a little bit over 30. Okay. It came in at $21,654. So we moved about 120 people the Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of that last week of November and first few days of December.
I felt they did a good job in my office. I hope everybody else felt they did a good job. Senator Bach?
That was my question on how that the cost came in relative to the estimate. So that's good.
Other questions? Any other outstanding issues? As I understand it, parking spots will be swapped in an orderly fashion.
It's my expectation, hope. Member parking permits have been sent out to home addresses or preferred mailing addresses. That will transpire starting Monday morning, the 3rd of January, and the same will hold true for member for staff parking as well in the total swap from the parking areas adjacent to the Capitol and the state office building.
And the security cards that members and staff have are things that get programmed. They don't turn them in.
No, that's correct. It'll be a programming function, and if they've not already been, they shall be shortly.
Okay. Any other questions by members?
Chairman.
Senator Metzen.
I think we should have Sven stand up and look at his tie.
Thank you for noticing.
Okay, I think Senator Koch and Mr. Sheehan, any outstanding issues as far as you
can?
Okay. Okay. Thank you, Mr.
I'd like to thank everybody for the help and cooperation, and certainly to my staff for all the hard work. There's been untold numbers of hours, and I certainly appreciate that, and it's made this all very smooth. So thanks to them.
Senator Senjum?
Well, I think just a comment. I'm sure I reflect the opinions of Amy as well. From our perspective, Sonia just did a great job, and it went, very, very well. And, there are some things which around here which just become magic, and I think that was an act of magic. I don't know how you did it, but you did it, and you did it in a style and a fashion that was just great.
Thank you.
Senator Olson?
Thank you, Chair. Sven, I appreciate your sense of history around here. It's been rather entertaining getting an understanding of what went where over time, and things have been resolved, by the way.
Okay, very good.
George has a new placement, is all.
Oh, where's George going?
Huh?
Where's George going?
On the opposite wall of where you had it.
Oh, but in that, up above?
Not that high.
Okay, but people can't.
In my little education corner along with your desk.
Okay, well, just so people can't.
No, it'll be fine.
We're talking about the George Washington painting that used to be behind the president's desk. And after a couple of years, I finally had it put up high in my office so people couldn't, so it would be safe. And I think Senator Olson's preserving that pretty much.
It will be safe.
Okay. Senator Bach.
I'm just wondering, I think we have, or are going to have an additional member that's going to have mobility issues. I know Senator Olson has a card.
No, I don't need that. Okay. I don't need it. I needed it for the tunnel.
So you're not going to use it around the camp?
No.
Mr. Chairman, maybe the sergeant can answer this. I'm just wondering if we have adequate infrastructure, carts, for example, for, I think we've got a couple people, Democrats over in the House now, that haven't had a cart in the past that are going to need one. So I'm just wondering if we have those, or
to my knowledge,
this committee needs to act on that, or kind of where, if that just happens. Or
Mr. Chairman, Senator Bach, to my knowledge, the needs have been met. Okay. We're ready to take care of those concerns. So,
I guess I didn't know. Is that something that the Senate provides for a member?
The Senate has one. The House had two.
Oh, I see.
And, yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah.
We're in good shape.
Great. Any other questions? Senator Frederickson, we were just talking about the move. Everything seems to be in order. How long did it take you to re-plaster Senator Frederickson's office with all those pictures and stuff in it?
Well, the question would be to Senator Langseth, how did it turn out? Is it okay?
It looks better than it did before.
Mr. Chairman, I use small nails.
Mr. Chairman, I'm wondering how much bubble wrap it took to wrap up all that. That little colony that he had in there.
I think Senator Berglund's office was a challenge, too. It had a lot of nails in that wall. So. Yeah. Who's in there? Was Senator Perry happy? Is that where Senator Perry is?
Correct.
Is that thing, the wall's fixed?
That's very difficult with that wall covering. That's still a work in progress.
We have to replace.
Oh, really? Yeah. No, it's too bad. Okay. Because that's the difference between the Capitol and the SOB, right? And it's the one thing I noticed about the SOB was the carpet's quite different. It's these little squares. It takes a little getting used to. But apparently that's much more efficient in terms of damage and stuff.
Is it really?
So, thanks.
Mr. Chairman, I think we have squares here, don't we?
This particular one is squares as well. Sometimes they blend
like
together
it
a little bit better. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Second item is the Capital Fellowship Program. This is something Senator Sharon asked us to institute 2 years ago, I believe. Mm-hmm. Senator Sharon and Senator Koch have met. The intent is to continue it.
Okay.
And so the same exact program, I guess, no differences. And so I think we did pass a motion, was it 2 years or 1 year ago?
It was last July, so it's only been in 1 year.
Mr. Watson, what is that appropriate motion?
The motion was to have the Senate work with MinWorks to implement the fellowship program with Scott Magnuson, Director of Senate Information, as the point person.
Okay. And did Senator Cole met with Senator Sharon and intends to continue. So. Okay, Senator. Senator Metzen moves that the Capital Fellowship Program be continued for
1 year or 2 years. I'm not sure what Jeff is looking for.
I'd like to make it 2 years.
2 years? For 2 years. Discussion?
I'm cold.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. All opposed? Aye. Adopted. We then have two other issues that I'm aware of. One is that I think it would be helpful if the new staff have the opportunity to start on Monday the 3rd. Is that correct? We are sworn in on the 4th.
The 3rd. Mm-hmm.
And I think it would be helpful, because there is quite a bit of new staff, to allow them to start on the 3rd, get their badges, get orientated. So I think it would be easier on everybody the day all the members show up then on Tuesday. So I think that would be a good idea. I hope members think that's
good.
That would
be very nice.
Senator Kokin, I have discussed it. Senator Bach?
I think we're supportive of that. I think there was some interest in even doing it earlier than that.
No, but the 3rd is helpful.
Okay.
The cost is the concern, so one day would be helpful.
Okay. And we did offer, and I think we should have the motion such that if there is a case of a person you want to bring in early, we should just do that. So.
Do we have, Mr. Chair, do we have budget in this biennial,
yes,
or in this year's for,
yes,
to allow that?
Yes. Okay. I think the issue is Sarah Koch has been looking at the budget. And the money isn't,
biennial.
The problem isn't for this year. I think it's a long-term issue in terms of how do you pare down the overall Senate budget in the context of the deficit. But in terms of available cash now, I think it's in pretty good shape. So, Okay, so Senator Senjum would move that new staff can start on the, should be able to start on the 3rd, and in particular instances that Senator Koch feels necessary, members, a staff member could start prior to that, between now and the 3rd, if necessary, or if convenient or helpful. So, discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. And finally, Senator Bach wanted to discuss the early retirement health care issue. Senator Bach.
Well, we passed into law a provision that provided, I think we have the language, that provided a health care early retirement incentive. I believe, look at the language, but I believe you needed to have the eligible for retirement have 15 years of service to receive it. And what was negotiated out with the Department of Finance was the only incentive would be 2 years of the employee's state health care payment into their health care savings account. So if you were single coverage, the incentive would be much smaller than if you were carrying family coverage. And the open enrollment period has passed, so anybody that's going to take this has already made their decision about whether they're going to have family coverage or single coverage. So I did have my staff take a look at what state departments have done this. It was permissive language in law. And I have
a
list.
This passed this last session?
It passed this last session, yes.
Signed by the governor.
It was signed by the governor, negotiated out by finance. I thought I'd been here a long time, but some of these acronyms I even struggle with. But it was permissive language, so departments could either enact it or not. Some did it on different dates. The House made a decision to do it, I think, on November 1st. The House did it. I wanted to have a discussion about it because I think the fact that the House has done it especially makes us kind of an outlier. At least we ought to have that conversation about whether we're going to do it. I think there's a large number of people in the Senate eligible for it. They would have to make a decision about retirement by December 31st and then actually would have to retire by July 1st. So they could announce that they're going to take it, but actually then work the session and retire on July 1st. I would like to have a conversation about it. I think it's something that at all levels of state government, we're going to have to get our arms around how we reduce the number of public employees in Minnesota, considering the budget constraints that we have. So just want to bring it up for discussion. Senator Pogemiller and I have talked about this for months. If people are uncomfortable, I'm not interested in forcing a motion or a vote on it, but I think if we could find some agreement to do it, I think it's probably the best way to reduce our complement here. We certainly would have some people, I think, take it immediately, and I think there may be a significant number of people that might announce they're going to do it and do it after the end of session. I don't have any way to know that, but just would like to have a conversation about it.
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chair, if they had already announced an intent to retire, would that make their... I was trying to also understand the... they have to be a participant in the individual retirement account plan. Let's see. And the... be immediately eligible for a retirement annuity or benefit from one of those funds, but also it said they can't have already started to draw within the previous month. Is that correct? And how does that? Do you have any idea how that those qualifiers affect the ones eligible or is? Okay, we don't know.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson,
I think theoretically, Mr. Boomhauer and Mr. Greenwald have been trying to figure out the people who would, who are currently Senate employees, who would theoretically be eligible for this. The basic parameters in the law are if you're annuity eligible, which for Senate employees would typically be 55 years of age, and you've worked for more than 15 years in state service, you would be eligible. There's nothing in the law that would say that someone who had announced their retirement already or had been contemplating retirement, that they would be disqualified. So, you know, even though, you know, people might be assuming that they would be out, if they're currently Senate employees and they meet these requirements, they would be eligible. A couple of things you should be aware of. One of the stipulations in the law is that if you take this benefit, you're ineligible to be hired for any other state employment position for 3 years. So if there are people who are thinking that they're going to be assuming another position in state government, they wouldn't be taking this.
State and local or just state?
It's anyone who's a position that's covered by the state employees insurance group. And I don't know that that includes local. I can check on that. So I know it's state employees.
Mr. Chair, would that cover PERA and TRA? Mm-hmm. All of those?
That's my, Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, that's my understanding.
Mr. Chair and Ms. Soff or whoever, if we did not do this, what would be the normal retirement plan for a person moving on? Is it COBRA or is it something like that?
Mr. Chair, Senator Senjum, anyone who retires from the Senate or is terminated from the Senate is eligible for COBRA coverage, assuming that they've been here the length of time that's mm-hmm. necessary to meet that. This would not have an interaction with that. This would be in addition to that. So if you're continuing if you've been here a certain length of time, the Senate will continue to pay the employer's share of health coverage for 6 months, and then you're eligible to remain in the state system for another 18 months. That's going to be independent of this. This benefit provides a fund that's measured by the amount of what your insurance coverage had been at the time that you terminated. So it varies depending on whether you had individual coverage or dependent coverage, and that's placed into a health savings account for you to use for your future insurance costs or medical expenses, but it doesn't affect or interact with the continuation of your COBRA coverage.
Did you tell us how many people are eligible in the Senate under this criteria? Not how many would take it, we don't know, but how many are eligible?
Mr. Chair, that number has been changing a little bit as people's circumstances have changed, but the best we can come up with is potentially 45 people.
Okay. Just the Senate, or does that include the commissions also?
Mr. Chairman, that's just the Senate.
Okay. And this member should be aware that the commissions, the Joint House-Senate commissions, are kind of in limbo right now. What they typically do is whatever the House and the Senate do. The House has adopted this. And so I don't know if Mr. Hulinger is here, but we probably should ask what they're thinking about doing, because that adds another group. Senator, okay. Senator Berglund.
I just wondered if anyone mentioned before I came in how much this costs.
We haven't gotten to that yet.
Okay. Well, I'd be interested to know that.
And you might notice on on the back side of this, appointing authorities must give consideration to issues such as equity within the agency, budgetary constraints, and workforce planning. That's kind of the criteria that's put into the law. Senator Olson, you had your hand up?
Well, if we get past the discussion of who is doing it, I would add to Senator Berglund's question is, I know that when Senator Brock offered this, The idea was that it could result in some savings. Has there been any effort to calculate if certain numbers do the exercise of both what the cost is, but if you were to hire people at a lower rank, have you got any kind of ranges for how that might, whether it's a wash, whether it's a savings, or whether it's a cost?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olson, again, Mr. Greenwald and Mr. Boomhauer have done extensive work on that, and their calculations, the way they approached this was to take into account the potential that all the people who were eligible for this would take this incentive. Okay. And when they did that computation, they then assumed that these people who were leaving would be replaced by people who would start at the minimum of the salary ranges for those positions. Now, that could go either way. You could bring in somebody higher because of experience, or you may choose not to replace those particular people. So that cost could vary. But if you assume that all these people were replaced by people who started at the bottom of the range, the payback period would be 1.5 years, so that the cost of implementing this would be recouped in a year and a half, and after that it would be savings from having these people off the payroll at the higher rate and their benefits based on that.
What if only half do it?
Mr. Chairman, this is so speculative. It's going to depend on who chooses to take this benefit. Obviously, if you're a person who's been here many, many years, and you choose to take this and you're at the high end of the salary range, the payback's going to be quicker. If you're someone whose salary is fairly low, especially in comparison with the cost of their health care coverage, then the payback is going to be longer. So
what if,
Mr. Chairman, it's off, but wouldn't you, couldn't you assume that most of these individuals would be near the top of the pay range if you consider at least 15 years of experience and over 55 years of age? That's different than somebody who's been here 5 years and they're 30 years old.
Mr. Chair, Senator Fredrickson, in reality, very few people ever get to the top of the range here because it's such an enormous range, but they certainly are well above the minimum. So, yes, the people who've been here for that long and, you know, are 55 or older tend to be people who've been here for maybe decades in some cases, so their salary is definitely above the range minimum.
Some will not be here in January. Let's just kind of get to it. On that list of 45 people, some weren't going to be here in January. How do you calculate that? What's the correct term? Laid off? Terminated?
Yes, some will be laid off. Some have indicated that they're going to retire. They've given us notice that they are going to retire anyway. Yes.
So in that circumstance, if it was somebody who is being terminated or not continued, however, because of the change in the majority, what are they eligible for? What's the finances of that?
Mr. Chairman, the thing...
they get unemployment coverage.
Well, right. The thing that isn't included, hasn't been included in some of the attempts to get around the cost of this is that, say, it's a person who was making about $60,000 a year. That's the point where you get your maximum unemployment comp benefits, and 26 weeks of the maximum benefit is about $15,000. So that would be because in order to get
that's
this,
our portion. That's the Senate's portion.
Right. The Senate is self-insured, so we pay for unemployment costs. If in order to claim this early retirement incentive, the staff person would have to resign rather than be terminated, so they would not be eligible for unemployment, and that would help to net out the cost for those people.
What, Mr. Chair, did she just say you can't have both?
Right.
Okay.
If you've been here What is the range? What is the maximum? Kind of, what's the dollar amount somebody gets in the benefit if they take this early retirement, have a family plan?
Mr. Chair, family coverage tends to be right around $30,000 for the 2 years of coverage.
Okay.
And for individuals, it's typically a little over $11,000.
And do we know out of that 45 people, how many are family plans, individual plans, or do they tend to be family plans? Or?
Mr. Chair, just looking at it briefly, I would say it looks like roughly half and half. I haven't counted, but it looks like it may be about half and half. Perhaps a few more family coverage than individual.
And if we don't do this, how long is health coverage by the employer provided?
Well, Mr. Chair, the health coverage by the employer is separate of this.
I'm sorry.
That's that COBRA coverage. So we're going to be doing that for people who leave regardless of whether or not we do this. They don't interact.
But, Mr. Chairman, COBRA coverage is people are eligible for it, but they have to pay. It isn't something we provide as an employer paid benefit. They get the group rate. But, you know, I mean, I looked into it when my daughter was done with college, and it wasn't that great a deal for her, so we didn't take it. But you have to pay, and, you know, when I was looking into it, this was, you know, maybe like 4 years ago, it was around, it was $430 a month about that you had to pay. So,
Mr. Chairman?
Sir.
How does that 6 months deal figure into this?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olson, which 6 months are you referring to?
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that when you could have six. Is that COBRA that you're allowed to buy 6 months?
I thought it was 18 months.
18 beyond the first six. What's I think it's if you're terminated, you get 6 months of employer paid coverage.
Okay. You do.
So if you're terminated.
If you're terminated.
Not if you retire or resign.
Is that
no.
Correct? Okay. Yep.
That's what goes with termination. Mm-hmm. And then they would be eligible for the unemployment.
Mm-hmm. If you terminate, right. You would get the additional,
okay,
the 6 months, and you get the unemployment. So you balance that
this
out.
There would not be that 6 months. It would be the employer's share going into a health savings.
Right.
So for
and I if I'm misstating this, if Mr. Blumhauer, Mr. Hubinger has something to
say
on that. Okay.
This is the employer. Right, no, I understand. So I just want to make sure I have this clear in my mind. For a terminated employee, if they're allowed to use this instead, they basically are gonna get an additional 18 months employer share paid. Because they're gonna get 6 months.
No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Oh, wait a minute.
They get 6 months of employer paid, and they're eligible for 18 months that they pay.
Yeah, COBRA's I'm
separate.
Setting COBRA aside, I'm talking about this provision versus just being laid off. If you're laid off and you had the opportunity to do this, if you could anticipate that you were going to get laid off, and then you chose to do this, the bottom line is you get an extra 18 months employer share paid. Is that correct or not?
No.
No, because you're going to get 6 months.
Yeah.
But
plus
I think it's
18
on top.
Months.
What?
Plus 18
right.
months of COBRA
right.
after the 6
right.
months.
COBRA's employee.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So do you get 2 years on top of the 6, or you just get... you're an employee who can anticipate that your job will not be there in January. This is provided by the Senate. You say, okay, I'm going to take it. What
not
you've accomplished is an extra 18 months of employer paid, employer share
no.
paid.
No.
Because you would have gotten 6.
Not everybody.
You would have gotten 6 just if you were laid off.
That's fine.
It's not 2 years on top of the 6.
It's 18 months on top of the 6.
It's 18 on top of the 6. Right. It's a year and a half. The maximum you're going to get, if we did this, the maximum you're going to get is 2 years. if we don't do this, for this type of employee, you're going to get six.
Are we certain on that? Because I was told something completely different. I was told that it's 2 years on top of the 6 months for a total of 2.5 years for this type of employee.
I think that's...
No or yes, because I've gone back and forth a couple times.
Okay, let's get that clarified.
And I think that's a very important clarification.
Yes, let's get that clarified.
Mr. Chair, I think there's a lot of confusion about, you know, the
for
interaction
Cobra,
of these
for
things.
For Cobra, we're talking about just the Senate portion.
The early retirement incentive?
And layoff termination.
Maybe Mr. Boomhauer might be better at explaining that part of it than I am, so.
They're not terminated in over 6 months. I think that's what they're telling us. So it's 2 years in the
okay. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I'm Dan Boomhauer, Human Resources Director. Yeah, there are several things that play here. If somebody is laid off, they would get 6 months of insurance at the active employer rate. So they would continue to pay just like they were a regular employee for 6 months.
Plus unemployment.
And after that 6 months, they could take an additional 18 months of COBRA.
Which does not cost the Senate anything.
Right. They're paying the full cost of the insurance for COBRA. Under this plan, employees would be eligible for 2 years and a payment of equal to 2 years of the employer contribution, and that goes into the health care savings account. And then in addition to that, they could take COBRA, which again wouldn't cost the employer anything.
After? They could take it after or during?
During that time.
Why would they do that?
Well, they would use the money we're putting in the account to pay their premium for COBRA.
So that's not on top of it. They would just use this money to pay their COBRA.
Right.
Yeah.
And they would get no unemployment insurance.
Yes.
Right.
And could not take a state covered job. We're not sure about local government. But could not take a state government job for 3 years.
So, Mr. Chairman?
What if they did? Would they then lose this or have to pay something back, or what happens then?
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure the law addresses that, but...
Mr. Chairman, this is confusing. Mr. Boomhauer, clarify for me now the difference...
Senator Olson, one second. Mr. Watson points out it may not be employed, so you cannot hire a person who gets this, is what the law says. Okay, Senator Olson, I'm sorry.
Clarify for me the eligibility for this based on whether you're laid off or whether you choose to. This was an incentive for people to choose to leave employment. Does it have to be of their own volition to participate here, or if they're laid off, would they also be eligible for this plan?
Senator Olson, that's a good question. I'm not sure that the law addresses that. Senator Bach, I'm not sure what the intent was.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I think the intent is to create some additional retirements. So a person would have to execute that they're going to retire. The intent never was, and I don't think the law provides for somebody who is laid off on December 31st to be able to exercise this.
Okay.
Mr. Chair?
Senator Blankson.
One thing, let's suppose that an employee was 62 years old and they could then draw their pension, but they haven't reached 65, so they can't get on Medicare. If a person is drawing state employment, can they take advantage of this? If there's a state pension that they're starting to draw January 1st?
Senator Langseth, my understanding of this is that they could start taking a pension after they elected this, but they can't have a pension payment going on at the time that they elect this.
Well, it would have to be after this 2 years was up?
No, after they make the election is my understanding.
Okay. Chairman?
Senator Metzen.
You know, this isn't... anything new. I mean, the DNR, MnDOT, the House, and so many other agencies are doing it. And Well, I think, I don't have the numbers, but I would guess that you get rid of these higher paid people, that in the long run, it's going to save money. Somebody said it takes about a year to catch up or something, but I think overall, we're going to save a lot of money, and we're going to create some new jobs for other folks. So I think we should seriously look at this and even do it. Get some new, fresh people in the business, too. So, and it's not unusual. I mean, other many departments are doing it now.
If I could ask Mr. Hubinger, you're caught in kind of an interesting situation here. The House has agreed to do this. You typically do what the House and the Senate do. What are your options if we do this or don't? If we did it, then assuming you would do it, you would make it available for your employees too. If we didn't do it, what do you do?
Mr. Chair, members, I'm Greg Hubinger with the LCC. We had talked about this with leadership staff over the last several months as the House and Senate were considering offering this to their employees, and we talked about what the LCC would do since, as you say, we usually do something in between what the House and the Senate do. We had talked with leadership staff, and they were comfortable with the LCC offering this incentive to their employees, even if one or the other did not. If one of the bodies did make the offer, then it was acceptable to those two leadership staff to have the LCC do this as well.
In that reference to leadership staff, that didn't include me. I'm just asking. I just want to know. And that's okay. I just want to know. I want to be clarified because I didn't say that.
I talked with leadership staff in each of the caucuses, and all of the leadership staff either did not object or were supportive of us proceeding.
Leadership staff.
Leadership staff. Yes, that's what I'm trying to get at. So Ms.
Yes. And
John Helgen said that?
Yes.
Okay.
And I spoke with Mr. Charbonneau, with caucus director for the Republican caucus in the House and in the Senate.
Apparently, there was an agreement in the House to do this. So.
Yes.
And they just did it by apparently the day before the election. Senator Frederickson.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Hubinger, how many employees come under the LCC and how many would be eligible for this?
Mr. Chair and Senator Frederickson, there are about 140 employees. We believe there are about 26 that are eligible. We anticipate less than a half a dozen would take advantage of the offer. We made the offer because it made good business sense for each employee that we anticipate taking advantage of the offer to save money beginning the first year.
So just clarify, so you have made the offer to
Mr. Chair, we made the offer last Thursday. We issued the documents to employees.
With the six that you anticipate are going to take it, are you going to save money?
Yes.
And that's kind of half out of the Senate budget, half out of the House budget?
It's
a separate budget, but it's a legislative budget.
Mr. Chair, yes, the savings are within the legislative budgets.
How much is that roughly, do you think? And you're estimating because you think six are going to take it.
Yes, Mr. Chair, and of course, we don't know who will actually take advantage of it. Assuming the worst-case scenario for budget is if we fill in behind with employees, the cost of the incentive itself is about $160,000. We would save $280,000.
If all positions were rehired?
Yes.
At a lower level?
Yes.
Okay. All positions may not be rehired.
Then there'd be greater savings.
Likely they won't be. Which I would think would be the likely situation in the House and the Senate also.
Potentially,
yeah. Some might, but some might not. Depends on the position. Senator Koch, did you want to say
something? Yeah, I would like to.
Oh, please join us. Go ahead and take Senator Clark's seat.
No, that's right. I can sit on the end.
No, take Senator Clark's seat. You're going to be sitting here very soon.
So,
Sarah Koch. See you in a case.
Be terrible today. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. I am generally supportive of early retirement. So I find myself in a bit of an unusual position here because I've looked over the numbers in our specific situation, and I'm not necessarily certain that we will be saving money. I don't know that we'll necessarily see our savings. We have some that have already announced retirement. They will qualify for this, although because they are not drawing yet. And so that is my concern. I think when you look at sub 3, which discusses the three things that we're that you are tasked with considering, budgetary constraints is my large concern because obviously that will be my concern going forward. And then I also have some minor workforce planning concerns. We have a tremendous amount of institutional knowledge here, and going forward I have some concerns with our new majority, what that might entail. So, you know, I just would point out those. This is not, this is a, you know, this is your decision to make. I'm just not certain because all the numbers and all we can do is speculate is based on all members or, you know, everyone doing it. That's not going to happen. And what I'm seeing from those that are considering doing it, we may have some retirements anyway. And this just doesn't. This just doesn't yield the savings that we're expecting. But with, you know, I'm not, that's just my concern. So I'm going to just put it out there. And
well, it's not an insignificant concern. Senator Cohen.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if it's directed to yourself or to Sarah Cole, but a couple of questions. First, I understand that there are some people who have discussed retirement anyways. Do they discuss retirement or make a decision about retirement because this had not become an option on the Senate side, whereas if this had been an option earlier, as had been in other cases, they would not have. This would have been their first option. Second, do we have any kind of, maybe the question is right to Commissioner Blumhauer, do we have any actual dollar figure as to if there's additional cost to the Senate, less cost, kind of a wash? Do we have actual figures?
We talked about that earlier.
Sorry, I was in the court.
Ms. Zoff, Senator Bach.
Well, I think Ms. Zoff, to Senator point, said that if the individual who was going to exercise this had family coverage, over the two-year period, it would cost the Senate $30,000 for that employee. If they were had single coverage, it would cost $11,000 over the 2 years for that employee. So if four people with family coverage took this, the cost would be $120,000 over the two-year period. The question kind of is that somehow then offset by if people are going to be replaced at a lower point on the salary schedule?
Well, and if people take this, they have to resign, which means they would not be eligible for unemployment, which would be a cost to the Senate in some cases. Because
yes, I understand that. That's why I apologize.
And then if people would be replaced, the idea is they would be replaced at a lower salary level.
And they can't go to work in any other state service either.
Senator Polk.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, the other thing that alleviates some of my concern, and I hope that we've got this cleared up, I hate to revisit the old, but I was initially understanding that retired employees were qualified for the 6 months employer paid insurance, and now I'm being told that that is not the case and that it would be 6 months and the 2 years on top of that 6 months for retired employees. Just to make one last time, retired employees do not qualify for that 6 months employee. Okay, which is different than what I'm hearing. So that gives me some, that is some savings, which were not figured into my calculations. I still have some concerns, but that is helpful.
Chairman, just in response to Senator Cohen's question, Mr. Boomhauer and Mr. Greenwald have been working on scenarios, and potentially if everyone who was eligible for this, there are 44 to 45 people who are potentially eligible to take this benefit, if they all took it and if they were replaced by staff people coming in at the minimum of the salary range, Their determination is that it would this would break even in about a year and a half.
Chairman?
Senator Centrum. Thank you, Mr. Chair. And just, Ms. Soft, just tagging off Senator Koch's comment then, if an employee, and maybe this is for Boomhauer, if an employee walks in the office and says, I'm going to retire next week or at the end of the year, what is said with respect with respect to health insurance going forward for that employee if we don't do this?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Senjum, if we don't do this, a person who chooses to retire would get the 18 months COBRA coverage, which is independent of whether or not we do this. How about the 6 months?
And so, Ms. Soft,
they get 6 months.
Mr. Chair, that's correct. If they are terminated, then they're eligible for the 6 months coverage. And I apologize if I had explained that incorrectly before. So
it was not you, Ms. Soft.
But the 18 months COBRA coverage is at their own expense.
Right.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Berglund, that's correct. The employee pays, they have the benefit of essentially buying into the state cost, which is oftentimes a benefit, but it is not a cost to the Senate.
Mr. Boomhauer, do I want to ask you if there is there anything like this in the private sector, or is that just open another whole can of worms? If it's going to confuse things, I don't want to ask. If it might clarify things, I want to ask.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, this type of thing is fairly common in the private sector as a way to save money. In many cases, there's income attached to it in addition to some sort of continuation of health care. You know, this particular program doesn't have any income continuation program to it, and that you would typically see in the private sector. So, yes, these types of things are fairly common in the private sector and usually a little bit more generous than what we're seeing here.
Sir Bach, in your research on the agencies, are there some agencies that did not do this, or is pretty much everybody doing it
differently? Well, Mr. Chairman, I just saw this list yesterday.
Is anybody aware of anybody who chose not to do this?
Half and half.
Who?
Mr. Chair, I understand that MSRS did not offer it to its employees.
Okay.
That's the only one, just anecdotally.
Okay. How big a shop are they?
I don't know.
10 people, 15 people.
I'm guessing maybe 25 to 50. I don't know the exact.
Mr. Hubinger, how big is your shop? How big is your shop, Mr. Hubinger?
Mr. Chair, we have about 120 employees in the joint agency.
Oh, really? Okay.
Mr. Chair,
you're half the size of the Senate, for gosh sakes.
That includes the Revisor's Office and the Legislative Audit.
Oh, okay. Okay. Senator Link said.
Well, Mr. Chair, it doesn't appear this is going to be a real big deal for the Senate, but it is a super big deal for certain individuals. And I'm aware of some of them that would be in a terrible bind without it. So I guess I do support it.
Chairman.
Senator.
Yeah, I'll wait for more discussion, but I'd be prepared to make the motion to approve this
my hope
session
be-
law. And I think, personally, I think it's going to save us money. So whenever the time is for motion, I will so move.
Why don't you hold it a sec?
Not too much longer. We've got the momentum.
I know we've got to be done by 10. So. I would like members to be comfortable, and I'd like it to be kind of a consensus if possible. So do we need to take a little break, or are members ready to think and do this, or Senator Frederickson?
Mr. Chairman, it sounds like it would be, financially, it'd be about a wash. You know, it might cost us a little money, it might save more money. I assume it would save some money, but I'm thinking, too, over the years, we've always offered the same insurance packages and the same type of benefits as the state employees have negotiated or been offered. And the state agencies have provided this for their employees, and I think we should be treating the Senate employees in a similar manner.
you were offering a brief break?
I am offering that, if that's... I think it would be best for the Senate okay. if we had something that people are comfortable with, one way or the other.
It's probably meaningless with respect to outside employers, and I don't know about a lot of experience, but I know of one who did this about 20 years ago, and I think we'll never do it again because, as Senator Colt pointed out, there might have been savings on one hand, but there was a loss of institutional expertise that was felt for a number of years later. We lost some really good employees.
Sarah, also, did you want to break temporarily, just briefly, or not?
Go ahead, break, and come back.
Probably take a couple-minute break. Just it's kind of hang around if you can.
So, yeah, yeah.
We'll recess temporarily.
We should do it.